Kyle Malin from the MERS newsletter. Kyle, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I always look forward to opening up the newsletter. There's always something in there that blows my mind, and today's quote of the day is just so interesting. The quote is, "I just cut his heart out. Can't get more symbolic than that." That's from Gary Carnahan, a Recall Paul Scott campaign petitioner, quoted in the Flint Journal after cutting into the heart of a frosting-drawn picture of Scott on a sheet cake. Callahan apparently told MERS yesterday that he didn't intend to cut the cake in such a way, and that the quote was a shocking quip, not a vengeful proclamation. Holy cow!
Yeah, well, things are getting really nasty up there in Genesee County. I mean, that's the Grand Blanc area for those who aren't familiar with it over in Fenton. And, you know, there are supporters up there of an attempt to try and recall a state representative named Paul Scott, who's the chair of the House Education Committee. And that's the committee that started this whole tenure reform stuff, trying to reform how teacher tenure is done and have it based on something other than longevity in office. And there's folks who are upset about the things that have been done in the House. They don't think that it's been necessary at all. And so, you know, things are getting a little nasty. So, you know, it's really weird, Tony. I mean, how many times do you go to something like that and somebody's baked a cake with somebody's picture on it, and then they put, like, a cross through it, and then they start cutting into the cake, and they're kind of like, you know, excited about it. I don't know, the whole thing was kind of weird. But, you know, the folks who were in part of the whole recall effort said that wasn't what they had in mind. They were, you know, they were just kind of in a celebratory mood. But obviously the target of the recall wasn't laughing.
Former Governor Jennifer Granholm and her husband Dan Mulhern have written a book. As a matter of fact, we have them scheduled to be on the program next week. You've already interviewed Mulhern. What'd you learn?
Well, I learned that Dan Mulhern was pretty much the author of the book. You know, Jennifer Granholm had some directions that she wanted to go, but you know, Dan Mulhern has written books before on leadership and such, and you know, he steered the project and he did it fairly early, back in 2010 February or such. He was in charge of kind of putting it together and kind of made that his task. And you know, I think all in all, he did a really good job. I mean, they were steered by their editors and so forth, and what kind of direction they wanted to go. But, you know, I was kind of impressed with the end product with him and the governor. I thought they did a really nice job. You know, and they were walking a tight line with this book that that the governor put out, you know, because they wanted to have some in-state interest. So they went behind the scenes in, like, the 2007 budget debacle where we shut down government for 4 hours. But then also they were drawing the parallels between what has happened in Michigan the last 10 years and what's happening in the United States right now. And the fact that we got super tight budgets on the federal level, we're getting massive cuts that we're not used to. And, you know, it's the same kind of thing that we had here in the state of Michigan. And also the whole manufacturing situation, where manufacturing jobs just completely disappeared in 07, 06, 08. And we're also seeing those same kind of parallels on the federal level and what can be done. And she's obviously thought long and hard about this and has some thoughts on it. And, you know, I guess what I learned is that they were trying to go for both audiences, a national audience and a state audience.
You write that the environmentalists and the academia are split on natural gas. That's become a topic again. Talk about that.
Yeah, sure. You know, natural gas is kind of being explored as an energy source of the future, you know, as opposed to coal. Now, obviously, we've heard about the wind and the solar, and those are coming too, but, you know, we're not at a stage yet where we can supplement all of our power with wind and solar. And so one of the avenues that's being explored is natural gas. Now, we haven't been able to get the natural gas, you know, in the past because it's just too deep underground and we're not able to get at it. Well, there's this new process called fracking or hydraulic something or other. I can't remember the formal name of it, but the environmentalists call it fracking. And basically what you do is you dig a big, deep hole in the ground, and then you put some types of chemicals down there, and it releases the natural gas up and so that you can collect it and then use it. Now, there's natural gas in Michigan, and there's natural gas all over the United States. And so proponents of the natural gas are saying, hey, this is a great way to not have to blow up mountains in West Virginia or ship oil from Saudi Arabia, because we just got natural gas here at home, and that's a great way to use power to power our power plants. But the environmentalists are kind of concerned. There's some environmentalists, I gotta you know, clarify that, who are concerned about the chemicals that are being put in the ground, and is that polluting our groundwater? I mean, what is that doing to the groundwater table? So there's that question as well, and there's, you know, there's some debate going on because this is new technology, and we don't really know. You know, do the risks outweigh the benefits? Cheaper electricity outweigh the cost of, or the potential harm of what's being put in the ground? And that's an open question right now.
All right, Kyle Malins with the MERS newsletter. Go there if you want to know what's going on around the state. Thanks so much, Kyle. Appreciate your time.
Hey, it's my pleasure, Tony.